that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this December 24th, 2022. And we thank you for joining us. We've got a full crew this morning. We'll bring everybody on. Brother Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Brother Josh, way down south, good morning.
Good morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Paul, up there in the Great White North today, good morning.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you. It's wintertime, and I think everybody from sea to shining sea, from Portland, Oregon to Tampa, Florida, knows about winter this year. But we say good morning, and thanks for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open in just a few minutes if you care to call in. But we're going to open up in prayer. Jason, are you up for opening us up in prayer this morning?
Yep. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. And Lord, as we look around and see the things that are going on in this world, we know that you're in control of things, and we cry out to you to save us from the hands of our enemies, those to seek to steal, kill, and destroy, as we know that they're out there. And Father, we see it, and we know that this is war that's taking place. And Lord, we cry out to you for assistance. We ask for your assistance. We ask for your guidance and direction, and ask that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father. And we pray that you be with the remnant, your people that are across this land, and tend to them in these times that we're living in. Let them be found putting their faith in you, trusting in you, and loving you. Oh, Lord, we thank you for everything that you give us each and every day, all the blessings that you bestow upon us. We just cry out and give you thanks. And we bless you, Lord. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. and we'd be glad to take your call. And as I said earlier, winter is upon us. We've actually warmed up. We're back up to about 24 degrees out here, and but that's almost the high for the country, I think. But good little winter blast has blown through to start the change of the seasons, and it's made a major impact. From travel, had blizzard warnings from Denver to Buffalo, and it's like a good old-fashioned winter, maybe. Maybe that's what's going to come. But it's that time of the year, and we're to be thankful. Even as cold and windy and, you know, many without power this morning, especially up in the Northeast. And but we are to be thankful that we get this good weather in its season. The snow is needed. The cold is needed. It's part of it. Not really global warming at all, but we're glad to have it. And guys, I'll open it up. I've got a couple things, but what direction we want to go in this morning?
Well, it's not often that it's colder here than it is there. So we're about 19 right now. So that's saying something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little different.
Here it went from we went from 45 below zero the last couple of days with the wind chill to today is supposed to be 45 above, so that's a big change. And
wow.
You know, there's a lot of people that knew it was coming, but I mean, a lot of people didn't do any preparations for it either. And you know, it's kind of one of those things is when you see the storm coming, you might want to make some preparations for it. And the people that didn't do anything about it were the people that had problems with freezing pipes and had problems with cattle that were dying and not getting feed and waters that were freezing up and stuff. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so important to, you know, when you see something coming, like what we're seeing with the hand of God and what he's doing, make preparations, prepare for things. And, you know, it's like the handwriting is on the wall.
Yeah, people
we have a responsibility. Go ahead, Zach.
People had a good week or so heads up that the storm was coming. There's a little bit of me that was saying, well, maybe it's kind of like COVID-19 and just going to be a big flop. But here where I'm at, it's still going pretty good. Like, we're in the middle of it right now. Got high winds, lake effect snow. I don't know. Most of you people out there probably don't know what lake effect is, but if you can pile up snow pretty good. And, you know, honestly, personally, I was getting ready back in August. I know it's going to get cold every year, so I'm out splitting wood for the outdoor boilers and all that stuff. And, you know, it's kind of irritating because I couldn't go out and do some tree jobs. So it held me up for a few days. That's basically what it did for me. But I was watching people, like, loading up their snowmobiles, getting gas, getting ready. And, like, they were getting prepped for 3-4 days before. And I don't know if it's kind of – I don't know what to say, if it's a flop or not. But, I mean, I've been out doing stuff. So, but there's definitely a lot of snow where we're at.
Amen to that. Well, guys, let's take a phone call this morning. We've got Susanna from, she said, the Great White North. Good morning.
Good morning, Richard. Good morning, Wrangler. Yes, I am between Rochester and Buffalo, north of them by Lake Ontario, and we have currently 9 degrees. Snow and ice-cold winds are blowing, and everybody is stuck in their own homes. We have travel ban. It will be a single solitary Christmas, I believe, which I find interesting. You know, how God works everything for us. More reflections possibly by some. We still have people stuck in their vehicles in the road that haven't been able to get out.
Wow.
So we should be praying for them that we're brave enough or otherwise still stuck out in the road from last night. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. But other than that, we are all good here.
Well, that's good to hear. Amen. That's good to hear. And
Yeah. And I'm home on a Saturday, so I have exactly 1% left on my phone. I'm without power, but I figured I have to call in and say Merry Christmas to you all.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the call. Stay warm. We'll sure keep you in prayer. And yeah, Remnant, I think that's what we have to do. There's many out there that I saw a headline this morning. You know, many are waking up with no power this morning. And, you know, if you have a gas heater or wood heat, that's a way to work around that. But not everybody does. And so we sure need to keep those that rely solely on electricity. I don't know how the solar panels are going to work today to fire up the national grid, but they don't seem to work too well in the snowstorms.
Well, Zach, you're a little closer to it than us. You want to lead us in prayer for that, for all the folks that are in a bind this morning?
Yeah. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to protect those that belong to you, and even those that are just that potentially might be, Lord. We just pray that everybody gets through this storm and this season that we're in. Lord, we just pray that it just works out, and just, Lord, just keep your hand, and we just ask that a blanket of protection goes upon all of them. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, what you're talking about, Zach, starting in August, I think that's spot on for what we should do spiritually and physically. We should do a little along all the time, trying to be prepared, trying to have our skill set, have that faith that we need, whether it be in the spiritual realm or the physical realm, to just continually do little along and live that lifestyle, so that whenever the weather does get bad, you know, be it the storms of life or snowstorms, actually, that we're equipped. Because right now, if you went out to try to get you a gas heater somewhere, you're probably not going to be very successful. But I'm sure they had them on the shelf in the store in August, like you were talking about.
Well, I mean, just common sense tells you, if you've been around the block a few times, you know, if you're out there trying to cut wood in this kind of weather or a few weeks ago and trying to get it to work and all your stuff, it's green, it's miserable. You are going to say, can you make it work? Yes. But if you just do a little bit of prep.
The shelf in the store in August, like you were talking about.
Well, I mean, just common sense tells you, if you've been around the block a few times, you know, if you're out there trying to cut wood in this kind of weather or a few weeks ago and trying to get it to work and all your stuff, it's green, it's miserable. You are going to say, can you make it work? Yes. But if you just do a little bit of prep, B and, you know, potentially C. You know, if you get to see, things are pretty desperate, but you got other problems then. But, you know, and that doesn't matter what you're doing in life. I mean, whether you're putting firewood, canning food, you know, shooting your guns, finances, everything. I mean, you always got to prep. And, you know, that's just what I do, you know, as a husband and a father. I got to prep because, I mean, if it was just me, yeah, I'd be all right, but. You know, I got 4, 5, 6 other people that I got to worry about, too. So, you know, we as men, that should be our mindset.
Hey, people depend on this Babylonian system way too much. You know, you can have a 911 wherever, but if they can't even get to you in the some of these snowstorms, and this is really quite a mild one. I've seen them with drifts up to the power lines, you know, back in the 70s, and this isn't really anything, in my opinion, because it could be a whole lot worse. But people are not prepared. I remember one time I was plowing snow in this gas station. It was blowing so bad that I couldn't even see the pumps when I quit. So I went across the expressway to the restaurant, and I sat there. And anyway, that day, there was a 50-car pileup right by the bridge there. And the cop asked the one guy, he said, "Why are you driving this blizzard?" He said, "I just wanted to see what it was like to drive in a blizzard." Now, that was how long ago? You talk about stupid. It hadn't really gotten any better. People got it on their mind. They're going somewhere, just like a determined cow that's going to walk right over you. That they're going somewhere, and they could care less who they step on. But that's the mentality of people today. They're cold and stupid. It's just common sense. You should. If you're not that bright, you should have at least a week's worth of food in your store, and maybe a small generator run your furnace, and you know. That's survival mode, but people depend on Babylon way too much, and Babylon's going to fail you. Babylon is a system of judgment against godless people, is what it amounts to. That's my take on it, because people are extremely stupid.
Well, and we are to be self-sufficient, and not just that, be able to be where we can help each other. You know, we're supposed to have extra and take that extra and be charitable with it, you know, to help out others. And you can do a little bit alone, and weather that, the financial part of it, better than you can try to do everything at one time whenever you need it, when everybody else is out doing. If you're trying to drive to the gas station and get fuel, you're a lot more likely to get in a wreck on the ice than if you're sitting at the house with your fuel already there.
Yeah, amen.
That's one thing I see is people are more willing to help than they used to be. They're kinder. My wife goes to the grocery store and says they wish you a Merry Christmas. They used to say Happy Holidays, but they're saying Christmas more than they used to. And this is what happens with this situation. We do go back to our roots at some point in time. But we've had it awful easy. I mean, even us guys talking, we've had it easy the last 10, 15, 20 years. But things are changing right before our very eyes, and it's good. And it really is good. Blessed are my afflictions. Because it's bringing people back to reality. I mean, and you're always going to have the people that don't, just can't take care of themselves. And they're out there. And that's where we got to step up for people like that. But we don't like people that play the system and won't take care of themselves.
You're right.
Exactly. Well, you know, there's a... Go ahead, Josh.
No, you're right, Paul, I guess it's like a Pavlonian thing. It sometimes it takes a lick, but if you want to see a community come together and take care of each other and be tighter knit, you let something bad happen and people will do that. And every other day they'll drive past each other and, you know, be in this trance of the world we live in. But when there's a lick and it makes everybody stop and kind of reset, you're right. It's awesome to see how people change and they go back to, I guess, more the way that it ought to be, where you're loving your neighbor. Go ahead, Jay.
No, I was going to say, you know, there's people that do, and put, you know, a lot of people putting too much trust in their government or, you know, calling 911. There's getting to be more and more reports. There's this case, I think it was in Oregon, and it was last year sometime, but a woman... They just finally released the 911 phone call, and she calls 911, says that her ex-boyfriend is breaking into the house and needs help, and she's locked herself, and the dispatcher just tells her, well, we don't have anybody to send out there. There's nothing we can do. You want me to stay on the phone with you? Why don't you ask him to leave?
And she ends up getting choked and raped and everything else. And, you know, they just basically just said, nope, there's nothing we can do. And that's happening and more and more and more. And people are finding that out, you know, especially in some of these rural areas of some of these Western states. And, you know, it's, you know, people have a false sense of security when they think is all they got to do is call 911 and, you know, that somebody's going to come running to help them. A lot of people are figuring out that it don't work that way.
Nothing like
that. Yeah, I think you've done better to have a sidearm in that situation than a cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. It would have. So people are waking up to that, and you know there's more Americans that are doing that. I mean, I read an article this morning, and it talks about Democrats wage holy war on Christian America. And just this first part of this article, it really just shows me that, number one, it shows me that, I think that it is what it is there's that separation that is just drastically taking place, you know, between the right and the left, from the goats and the sheep. And it says the climate change cult, the anti-racist cult, the cult of wokeness, the LGBTQ cult and its predatory offspring targeting America's children, the transgender cult, the cult of abortion, the COVID cult, the cult of globalism, TikTok cults. And every month the list grows on and on and on. And, you know, you think about that, it's you know, it's a separation. I mean, these are the kind of people that it's you don't want to have anything to do with. There's getting to be such a separation that it's pretty obvious who you want to be around, who you want to spend time around, who you want your children around, who you want to be friends with, I see that separation has taken place. It's dividing. It's like a sort and shoot. You know, it's sending some off to the right and sending some off to the left. And you keep thinking, it's like, you know, what is wrong with these people? Why in the heck are they, you know, how can they be caught up in it? You know, is it just a spell? And I think that it's more than just a spell. It's more than just spell casting. It's more than sorcery. I think it's just, I mean, I think it's got to be that deep down in these people, there's a lot of wicked people.
And that's so hard for us to receive. Was listening to a podcast yesterday, and this is a guy that was a fighter pilot, and he was describing the first time he got shot at in combat, and his first reaction was that he couldn't believe that somebody would shoot at him. You know, he couldn't believe the gall of them to be shooting at him, and he polled the other pilots and asked them what was their first reaction whenever they first got shot at ever in war. They were the same way. They couldn't believe that somebody was shooting at them. And a lot of times we do have a hard, you know, we have that same reaction as sheep, not the brightest of the bunch, that we have a hard time believing that our enemies would attack us. And we should really see that coming. We should know that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. And that's what they're going to do.
Well, and that's what, you know, we talk about spiritual warfare. We read about spiritual warfare. We've been told about it. We've heard stories of it. But then when it happens in our life, you tend to want to make an excuse for it.
Yeah. Yeah, the excuses roll. You know, as bad as the school boards have been, as bad as the public school system is, and you try to point that out to people just in that instance, and what do you get? Oh, no, but my school's not that way. My child's teacher. And it's like a spell, but it's, when it applies to them, oh, no. It's almost like a denial type of thing when it comes to them. But it is, as you said, Jason, it's a battle that rages on, right versus left, goats versus the sheep. The power of light versus the power of darkness, good against evil, and the people don't want to face up to it. They don't want to realize it, because if they do, well, their house of cards comes tumbling down. You know, whether it's the public fool system, the government, the assistance, the 401ks, the banking, all of it. And many just aren't ready to see that.
That's one of our weaknesses as sheep. That's one of our weaknesses as sheep. We don't want to believe in bad in people. But the thing of it is, like I told the guy the other day, you consider him your enemy until he proves otherwise. And that's the way we have to think, because you don't know. Some, like that Pastor Peter once said, he said, I never met a con artist I didn't like. And that's the truth.
Yeah. Yep. Jason and I were talking about that just a week or two ago, about a guy, a person. And it was like, you know, I always liked that guy. He was fun to be around and this and that, and just a liar and a son of hell. And you know, contentious and caused problems and but you just couldn't help but like the guy. And you had to overcome that. That was something else to overcome. You're absolutely right, Paul.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that with all you guys. I'm kind of making sure you're you where you say you are, you know. That's a joke.
Well, I mean, it's a joke, but it is a real thing. You should never let your guard down. I mean, this is we're all in on this. This is our families that are at stake here and everything we've got here in the world. So we should always be watching. And, you know, it's not that those people are prone to this. It's that we are. We are all prone to it because it's in our DNA, and we want to think good about people. We want to trust people. We want to like people, but we also need to be disciplined to watch everybody and be able to see and pray that God will give us eyes to see, and ears to hear. Cause we've seen it time and time again, you know, it happened with people that have been around a long time and they finally show their true colors.
You know, I've seen a thing on YouTube this week where in the Netherlands they have confiscated 3,000 farms the government has. And, you know, I think, man, that's really terrible. But I got to thinking about it. You know, God says, I'll drive you from the land. Now, in where I live, too, you know, all the big farms are sucking up all these family farms, which they sold out. They didn't really steal them. They were just for sale and stuff like that. But I said a long time ago, these big guys are going, too. Now, what's happened in the Netherlands, there was no land Sabbath. Now, this regenerative agriculture is all great and stuff, but it's real simple. God says you farm it 6 years, and the seventh year, give it a rest, and use open pollinated seeds. Now, you don't got to be smart. You just got to do it. We've walked into this trap on our own. I think the regenerative agriculture is great, and it's coming out, but we're seeing how the soil actually works, and we're turning back to God. But God has a system, you know, our national debt. You got to relieve that debt every 7 years to have a healthy system. That's real simple. Now, up in Canada, that knucklehead's going after deer rifles. Now, he sat there and lying stuff right to your face. Why do they want your gun? Because they plan on killing you, is what it amounts to. And that's how dumb our sheep are. They plan on destroying us. But to see the God's hand is in this. I'll drive you from the land if you don't keep it. And we've had a huge removal of land. You know, you look at the villages out in the west that used to, they're all gone. You know, now they're just, it's all been driven to the city. We talked about it last time. It's a service industry. But it's slowly doing. And now these big guys think they're pretty cool and they're playing the system, but they're in deep doo-doo also. Because when the Netherlands can come and take 3,000 farms, well, they all play the government program. I mean, I got a guy who rents my land, and I wouldn't give my soul to shrine. I gave it to him, but he plays the system, you know. He's in it right up to his neck. That's a government farm, no matter what he thinks. He drives around pretty handsomely, but spiritually, he's dead as a stone, as far as I can tell.
And, you know, like you say, of the farms coming apart here where I'm at now. I mean, if somebody's got 100 acres, that's a pretty good sized place. And, you know, 300 or 400 acres is a big place anymore. And it, It used to not be that way, but it is what it is. And we, you know, I got a little small farm, make some hay and cows and this and that. And we got our CPA gave us a heads up that this year that those extra IRS agents that they hired on, a bulk of them is going to be to go after the small farms and, you know, audit their books and make sure that everything is right and on the up and up. And so she said that, you know, you really got to be careful with everything you do and make sure it looks right and on paper. You know, isn't that something that they would hire all those folks to go after and make sure that the books of these small farms that are, I don't know, netting maybe, you know, probably under $50,000 a year, you know, go after them and put the screws to them?
Well, absolutely, because if they can close them down, they can get that land developed, get the people, like Paul said, off the farm. And it just, it's, like we said, so hard for us to realize that. You try to talk to somebody and say, this is what they're doing. This is one of the reasons they're hiring all these IRS agents to come in and find, you know, where you didn't cross a T or dot an I and give you, a $10,000 a day fine till you can't pay it and then take your farm. And you try to tell people that, oh, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. Why are you thinking that kind of thing? That's crazy. They'd never do that. And we see it, some people anyway, see it happening. Not all, but some see it. And
But really, ultimately, God is doing this to us.
Absolutely.
And there, you know, I read the book of Ezra here just recently. It was the Chaldeans came in, and they didn't have no mercy on old, young, or anybody, and they did it. And then there was those who escaped, and then back into Nehemiah, where they come and rebuilt the town. But the hand of God is moving, and you can't mess with him, you know. You can't sin and get away with it, you know. And these people go to church, and they don't even know what sin is, you know. It's the hand of God that's moving, and, you know, there will be survivors. The Bible says, listen much and speak little, and don't be so quick to tell everybody what you think, because they will use it against you. I don't know. That's where I'm at the moment. You know, I could be wrong, so I'm waiting for somebody here to correct me.
Well, we build up these altars. If you want to take that personally or as a people, as a country, we build up these altars, and then we're surprised whenever God tears them down. Then we shouldn't be, because that's his theme throughout the Bible, is he will not put up with any other gods above him, been worshiped, you know, above him. And in my opinion, I agree with you, that's what we're seeing now, all these different little gods, and we'd all do well to look at ourselves every day and make sure that we're not building any of those up personally. That's a dangerous thing to do.
Well, probably everybody on the phone here and Pastor Peters has done everything in their power to tell the people where they're going, and they haven't really listened that much. So I don't know how much influence we have. I think we need to be thinking of as the survivor to come out the other side and build the wall. That's my take on it. Your Bible says go into your house and close your door till it's over. Because Babylon's not self-destruct. It's built on paper money. No, there's nothing behind it. I mean, the whole thing is phony as heck. But it's on self-destruct, and you can't save it. And, you know, there are 80,000 IRS agents. They're going to take some more blood out of the turnips, I guess, but that's what they're up to.
Yeah, and Paul, I think we're seeing a change in that. And, you know, for so long, we've wanted to tell other people, right, about these things that we know. And I think you're right there in a way that it seems like the time is, you know, certainly to be prepared. But I think we're seeing other people that are noticing that. And asking questions. Hey, What do you think about this? What do you think about that? The last couple of years, it seems like we've seen a large increase in people telling us that, asking us, you know, coming and saying, hey, why is this happening? And why doesn't this other thing happen? You know, when people are seeking, well, then they're receptive. And it sure seems like people have been receptive to the truth about what's going on, about God's people, who they are, and why these things are happening. Just like you said, what a radical truth that God is causing this to happen. God's allowing these IRS agents to come in. God's allowing the people to be kicked off the land. And for people that want to know, it does. It's good that we have been taught that we do know that there is that remnant across the country and across the world that understands this, because that's the fix. Is, yeah, it is God doing it because of our sin, and it takes repentance to fix that. Christmas Eve today. And everybody celebrating, you know, or a lot. Oh, Christmas, the birth of Jesus. And, you know, when he comes back, it's not going to be like before. But that's all the, you know, when people think of Jesus at all, it's the babe in the manger. And that's it. And that's just part of it. Anyway.
Well, every question deserves an answer, you know. I sell for a living. But I'm telling you, when you get that guy asking a question and talking, you're on the right channel. And, you know, because most salesmen just run their mouth and just overbear him with crap like that. But when you can get into a man's head where he's actually asking questions, you broke the barrier. And this is what we're dealing with people, too. When they're asking questions, it deserves an answer. They might not like the answer, but that needs to be said. And, you know, there's everybody on this right now is more than willing to say it. We'd love some questions. You know, I don't know about you. I would just love to have somebody ask me.
Yeah.
So, because forcing it down their throat don't work.
No.
You know, you can't beat someone into submission. It just don't work. And see, that's the whole free will of God. You know, we have a free will. We can choose. He gives us, you know, 70, 80, or whatever, how many years he gives you to look for him and to seek him. But how many people seek? Not that many. They go off the edge. Somebody said the other day, oh, somebody died, you know, oh, that's a good way to go. It ain't how you go, it's where you go, you know. They think when you shut the lights out, it's all over, but that ain't the case as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and then, you know, this, did anybody follow this Ukrainian president coming over and meeting with Biden very closely?
No, I didn't. Tell me.
I know that we put together a new package, and I believe that they agreed to give him another $45 billion, and that's on top of the $66 billion that we've already sent over there. And it was interesting, and you know, you really want to tick somebody off is forget to give them a paycheck during Christmas season. And this year, the National Guard they did not get their final paycheck for the year, according to letters that were sent out, because they had too much drama surrounding the $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill that Congress was working on. So. I don't know. That'll be interesting. But then this president of Ukraine also went to the White House and asked him for. He said that he wanted missiles that would go farther, longer range, and wanted the U.S. to fund that too. So, you know, if people can't see the writing on the wall for a World War III, then then I don't know what to tell you.
I know a guy. He likes to buy Biden traveling. I said, and I can't get through his brain because he watches Fox and thinks that's the gospel. But it's so much bigger than that. You know, Ukraine. You know, the Bidens are over there criminals and they're buddies. You know, but yet he makes Putin as the bad guy. And the CIA is trying to orchestrate a war and getting us into this. This is what's going on. But God, you know, you read that vision that George Washington had, and we're right there. All these nations are, you know, I think China and Russia are going to get just sick of our baloney because they're trying to get gold standard money together because they understand the fallacy of it. And they're trying to hold on to this system. And it's a big clash coming, really big. And I think that vision that George Washington had is in the third one. You know, you should publish that somewhere.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, and God's not, you know, he's got a, you know, Israel's going to be helpless. And from what I understand, our military's gutted, our money system's gutted, and we're right down there. We got no place to turn. And he's going to work something really big. In Ezekiel 2, it says, and then my people will know who I am once and for all. I can't wait for that day. I'm looking so forward to it, and I don't think it's too far away.
Yeah, it fast approaches, and it would be well to be like those wise virgins and be ready. Be ready. Have your oil purchased. Don't wait till the knock is at the door. You can't. Then it's too late. Like you were saying, Zach. You know, you don't wait till now. Hey, where can I go cut some firewood? Anybody know where I can go get some firewood at, or who's got heaters? No, that's too late. You're going to miss out. And God gives us, and he gives his people these examples. You know, the that was so much how the he gave his word to the prophets to tell the people, and even Jesus taught. You know, hey, the kingdom of heaven is like to try to explain to give people. Opportunities to prepare, to be ready, to make better choices, and we talk about people doing that now. Some, whether it's you know, preparing for the winter, realizing that you know, the sheriff or the highway patrol, the state patrol, police is it, you know, it's not on them to come protect you. And so we're seeing people that are, and we call it an awakening. We call it people waking up to, you know, that they need to be prepared. Things need to be, you know, they've got to take matters into their own hands as opposed to leaving it up to this system. And part of that, is returning to God, whether it's in the agricultural section, whether it's in the financial section, whether it's in the personal responsibility section, and we see that we see it with some, just like, you know, that remnant of a remnant that's out there. They want to know the truth, no matter what, but it's just a few of them. I mentioned a couple Sundays ago, I'm reading a book about the men of the Revolutionary War, about who Paul Revere was, and Sam Adams, and his cousin John Adams, and these people, you know, and it's a historical biography type of, and you know, these people realized that things could not go on the way they were. And they sought peaceful means for the most part, but the underlying thing about them is that they were believers. They were Christian.
They knew who they were. You look on the back of your dollar bill and that symbol of the eagle, he's got the 13 arrows, the 13 star, everything. Well, that's the 12 tribes of Israel. The reason there's 13, because Joseph had Ephraim and Manasseh, but that is, they knew exactly who they were in this country.
Yes.
And there was no fooling. And, you know, 3% of the people fought and won that war because George Washington and all the men who had faith, and they knew it was in God's hand, you know, and they They sacrificed everything for the freedom of this country. And we have complete, you know, you look in the school books. I read one the other day. I don't know where I seen it, but in some school books, well, Paul Revere didn't really ride. He was in a prostitute in Boston or something. You know, and this is what's in the school books. You need to look in them books, folks, and see what's in there, because you would be appalled what's in them books. And they've taken over our children. Colonel Moore, one of his books, he said, Colonel, who helps him escape the firing squad, and he said, well, we'll see you soon again. He says, we're coming to America. And he said, well, how are you going to come? Well, we're going to take one generation of your children, and they won't defend you. And that's what they did. They went into the schools. And, you know, it's your responsibility to teach your children, you're raising up, and you're going out. The Bible commands homeschooling or review schooling. Now, you can have a local school that have a common faith that teaches the truth, so it don't have to necessarily be done at home, but that's what you got to make sure is going on, where it's going on, and you're responsible for those kids to know. If they reject it, that's their problem. The blood's on their head.
Amen.
You know, this can just happen, too. You know, when I was back in the 50s, used to watch the Westerns. You know what they were teaching us then? Don't take the law into your own hands. Let Mr. Dillon handle it. Let somebody else handle it. They didn't want you to take the law into your hands. The law's got to be put on our hands, because that's where it's at. You know, we have to avenge that death. We have to set that right. Restitution, execution, that's our job. That you can't hide this. Like I said before, this country won't be fixed from the top down. It's going to be fixed from the bottom up, and there will be a remnant. That, you know, a sprig that stays. But I think we're going to see just a huge amount of casualties.
Everything we've talked about so far is describing a way of life, and that's the way we should be living now, and we should work towards that more every day, to live a life that is free, and in line with God and his law and his will, his ways.
Well, you back up 50 years, so northeast of me here, they call it, area called Fruit Ridge. Now, every one of those farmers had a dairy farm and, you know, 10 acres of apples. Well, all the cows are gone. Now they're solid apples, you know, but they put all their apples or all their eggs in one basket, so to speak. But the university have done this to us, but those farms had 10, 12 kids, you know, there's nothing stronger than a family farm. You cannot begin to hire anybody to get up and go take care of that cow during the night or whatever, you know. When you know your livelihood's out, it's like somebody's running it. And they had big families, and that was a more godly time, but we have totally switched over to the commercial thing, and this is why they're at these little farms right now, because I think there's more than you know, and they see it as a threat. This, you know, there was an Amishman they went after out in Pennsylvania. You know, they just sold raw milk, had a little thing going, and they were coming down. I don't know how it all ended up, but that was a couple months ago I read about that. But I think this regenerative agriculture and everything that's going on is a threat to the system. Huge, you know.
So, hey, guys, let's try another phone call here. Hey, good morning from New York again.
Hello. Hello, hey. Is this Richard?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Richard, and good morning, dear precious men on this line and everybody across the earth listening on this line. My name is John Kevin Daly. I live in Buffalo, New York. I'm a disciple of Jesus, like all of you, dear saints. And God just had me to share a couple quick verses. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, I've only heard the last half hour of this call, so I don't know all you've talked about, but in Proverbs 21:18, it says, "The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and transgressors for the upright." In Proverbs 11:8, help me, Jesus. Proverbs 11:8, it says, "Help me, God." It says the righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked come in their stead. In Isaiah 43, verses like 1-4, I won't say it all, but verse 4, 3 or 4, somewhere in there, help me, God. It's just something like, I am Jesus, thy God, the Holy One of Israel. I gave Egypt. He names like three countries, Egypt, Cush, and Kut for you. Okay, so this is not just theory. I just want to share this real quick. I God has had me standing up against the global mafia for years. My wife and daughter was kidnapped for me back in 2004. God's given me dreams and visions. They're coming back in prophetic words. And they have sent, if I have one, I have easily 30 warrant letters from different states. I've lived in two different states where they say they're coming and they're going to seize all my assets and sell them for what they say I owe. And I send them back letters and I just say, I don't own anything. It's all Almighty God. It's all Jesus. You come and try to take it from him. And they've never showed up. I pray the prayer of King Hezekiah when Sennacherib and those clowns were blaspheming God's holy name and surrounding the city and said, you know, if you can mount 2,000 horses, we'll let you die in dignity. And Hezekiah knelt down and prayed that prayer. I've done that with every satanic letter, every satanic decree I get, and they haven't come. And I'll just say this last thing, and listen to you, dear men, is in the last 2 years, they have easily sent 100 teams, not just one or two guys, of assassins and Gestapo to murder me. They did the George Floyd on me, six guys, six assassins, back on June 17th of 2016. I don't own any guns. I'm not against that, but I don't own any guns. I don't use that to defend myself. I just use prayer and God's word and the promises of God. So I want to encourage all these dear, precious people out there, you farmers, and everybody else that's living righteous and holy, as Richard says, we're not perfect, but we're living by the word. Stand on the word of God, dear precious people, because, I mean, my landlord, the tenant downstairs, they could verify there have been multiple teams of people sent here to try to murder me. And, you know, I'm still here. And not a single one of them since that deal in 2016.
Sure. Well, John, thanks for the call. We're running out of time. We only got an hour in here, but yeah, and absolutely, we there comes a time we have to do that. We certainly have to stand on the word, and when we read through the word, those that did that, well, they were delivered. Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. We are running out of time. Any closing comments here?
Yeah, Nehemiah, I was reading it last night, and these two guys that didn't like him sent this guy in to put fear in him. He said, let's go hide in the temple. They're coming to get you. And he was smart enough to say, no, this is a God. I'm not running for nobody.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Well.
Yeah, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and thanks for tuning in. It is, we've got a couple Christmas messages that Dad did years ago. One of them is called Looking at Christmas. The other one is, I think it's Do You See What I See? And really good messages that he goes into explaining some of the origins of Christmas. And if you'd like that, we'd like to send it to you. So write to us and we'd get that sent off to you.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks again. Thanks for joining us. And join us at church tomorrow, scriptures4america.org. Click on the live video stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Eastern, 10:30 or 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll talk to you then. Thanks a lot.
Had choices since the day that we were born. There were voices that told us right from wrong. If we had listened, we wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices we made. I was tempted. By an early age I found I liked sinning. Oh, I should have turned it down. There were prophets, but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices I made. We had choices since the day that we were born. There were voices that told us right from wrong. If we had listened, we wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices we made. I guess I'm paying for the choices I have done. If I could go back, oh Lord knows I'd run. I've been losing this game of life I play. Oh Jesus, forgive me for wrong choices I've made. As for me and our house of worship, we shall choose him. Choose him rather than choose passing pleasures of sin. Make the choice to obey, or else choose to pay. We have such choices. Choose to serve him and sing to him today. Choices. Jesus, you paid for all the wrong things I have done, and now, Lord Jesus,